The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. Amen. Coming to the seminary raises lots of questions that you might otherwise never have thought of. Some are biblical questions, like the canon or the synoptic problem. Others are doctrinal, like predestination and the hidden will of God. And still others are practical, like close communion. Maybe you thought of these things before, and maybe not. But now that you're here, you have to, at least as long as you're here. So this morning, we confront still another of these conundra. Certainly not so important as maybe some of the others are, and I definitely don't think it's anything to worry about. But nonetheless, this is an interesting question that I'm pretty sure most of you wouldn't have thought of before you came here, and that is, what do we make of Luther's friend and colleague Philip Melanchthon, co-founder of Lutheranism, or its betrayer? Good guy or bad? Now, obviously, our worship folder has already answered that question. Melanchthon, confessor, it says. And rightly so. I mean, after all, he was a penman for the Confessions. I mean, three of the documents to which we subscribe were written by Philip Melanchthon. And that includes the foundational creed of our church, the Augsburg Confession. So you can't really get more Lutheran than that, I don't think. We subscribe to these writings of Luther because they teach what the Bible teaches. They address those problems which were so important in the 16th century. They are standards in our church. But of course, there's more to the story than just that. I mean, on the one hand, we certainly recognize Melanchthon as a premier theologian. And besides the confessional writings, we also recognize him as the author of the first Lutheran dogmatics. He wrote commentaries on Pauline epistles that demonstrate the biblical basis for Lutheran doctrine. He was also productive in the area of education. He wrote, he traveled, he advised people all over Germany about schools and curriculum, places that would combine good theology with good learning. I mean, really, after Martin Luther, there's nobody else who did more to implement the Reformation in Germany than did Philip Melanchthon. However, Melanchthon was also at the center of many of those controversies that marked the generation or two after the death of Luther himself. I mean, one of the factions engaged so heavily in those controversies was actually named for Melanchthon. They were the Philippists. And it was Melanchthon who tinkered with the Augsburg Confession in such a way that some of the Reformed could buy into it. While at the same time, it's Melanchthon who negotiated the Leipzig Interim that reimposed medieval ceremonies that were so dear to the Roman Catholics. Rather than regarding him as a champion of our faith, an earlier generation of Missourians described him as betraying Lutheranism out of fear, as hiding his true and erroneous views while Luther was still alive, as being basically compromiser in chief, hardly a confessor. In fact, no less a theologian than C.F.W. Walther called Melanchthon a genuine and crass synergist, somebody who relied on his feelings instead of the Word of God. So, which is it going to be? Melanchthon the confessor or Melanchthon the traitor? Now, this is not an easy question to answer. And what's nice about this question, we really don't have to. And nobody's going to put it on a test or anything else. But what makes this such a difficult question is the man himself. I mean, you see, the problem with Melanchthon is Melanchthon. And he has generated so many different interpretations through the ages, at least in part on account of his own mixed record. Just like everyone here, Melanchthon was both saint and sinner, but he had the misfortune of being a public person and of demonstrating his character at the center of great events. In other words, his weaknesses, his flaws, have become the stuff and substance of history. Now, for most of us, myself included, it's really only our friends and families, and especially our spouses, who really get to know us. And the historians aren't going to care. Furthermore, even from family and friends, we hide a lot of what's inside, you know, in our hearts. Our hearts from which our Lord once said proceeds everything that is vile. So that, you know, if opinions were mixed regarding Philip Melanchthon, that's only because, at least in part, Philip Melanchthon was just like us. He was a human being. He was a complicated person. He was full of vices as well as virtues. Varying assessments of such a man, therefore, should not surprise us. They have their origins in him or in humanity rather than necessarily in our observers. But now, in the scripture reading for this morning, and I'm sure you're all thinking that it's about time he got there. Well, it wasn't that easy just to kind of put Melanchthon into this text, and I'm not really sure I succeeded, but we do have to deal with this text. And here we read about diametrically different reactions to St. Paul. And these reactions do not arise from his character. They don't arise from his history, but rather they arise from those who actually heard him. And now I'm quoting the text. "We are the aroma of Christ to God among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. To one, a fragrance from death to death. To the other, a fragrance from life to life." Now, what this text tells us is that those who preach the gospel are going to stir things up, and not everybody will listen to them gladly. You see, the good news of Jesus Christ crucified and risen again presupposes bad news about the human condition. You, it says, are a sinner. You need to be reconciled to God, and you know what? You can't do it yourself. But of course, you don't have to. There is a way out through faith in Jesus Christ, who has done it all. He's the world's only a Savior. And so, in the last chapter of Mark, we read very bluntly and simply these great words of the gospel: "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." Well, Christians, of course, like that. It's a wonderful message. Prompted by the Holy Spirit, they respond to St. Paul, they respond to you, they respond to me, why, they even respond to Melanchthon, with repentance, with faith, and with joy. For them, the gospel ministry really is a sweet-smelling fragrance to life. But you know, not everybody likes the same smells. For some people, for example, the smell of tobacco is delightful. For others, well, just light up a cigarette or a cigar and it drives them out of the room. Same odor, but radically different reactions. Well, that's the way it is with the gospel as well. It affirms not only that faith saves, but it also implies He that believeth not is damned. So the gospel really is good news, but unbelief turns it into bad. It becomes a fragrance from death to death. The problem is not in the message, but in the person who refuses to hear it. But the rejection of some is no excuse for not preaching. It didn't stop the Apostle St. Paul. It shouldn't stop us. We'll plant the seed, we'll even water it, but God is the one who will provide the increase. Oh, and what about Melanchthon? Well, as far as he's concerned, I don't think we should really try to answer that question completely about him. We can talk it over more at coffee. But instead, I think we should just take a deep breath and smell the fragrance of the sweet gospel that, after all, Melanchthon did confess. And now may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.